Pull out your phone. Pull out your phone. Now turn on your light. Now let's all do this. No, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. All right. And so, listen, back in the day, I remember when cigarette lighters were the thing at a concert, right? Some of you younger guys, you saw that in pictures, all right, a long time ago. And now, we were at a concert not long ago. You can hold them down, but leave it on. All right, and so we were at a concert not long ago, and I was sitting in the back. It was Elevation Church. My little brother plays bass with Elevation, and so he had gotten us some tickets at American Airlines Center. And so we're sitting and we're watching, and it's an amazing concert. The graphics on the screen are unbelievable. Lights, music, everything about it. But I got caught up in watching everybody videoing it. Now they weren't looking at the light on the back, but they were looking at the picture as they're videoing it. And I'm watching thousands of cameras just taking in the moment. And honestly, it lit up the whole place because you're seeing what's being videoed. And it's supposed to be dark everywhere. I know the production manager had to be like, turn the doggone phones off. I'm trying to put on a show here. But that's what I got caught up in, was looking at all the lights. Thousands of them. I think I actually took a picture. I wish I'd have showed that to you now. But I took a picture of it, and just because I was just amazed that people were looking. They wanted to see the moment. And I got caught up in watching them. Now, hold your light up one more time. All right. Now just point it right in somebody's face. All right. There you go. All right. All right. Now you can put it up. Every one of us understands the need for light. We could talk about this all day. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." He says, "You are the light of the world." You're like a city on top of a hill that you can't hide. No matter how much you want to hide a city on a hill, you can't do it because it's up there where everybody can see it. The lights are shining. And he says to you and me, you are that city. You are that light. You are bringing light into a dark world. How many of y'all were afraid of the dark when you were little? All right, there's a few of us. How many of us are still afraid of the dark? Come on, let's be honest, all right? Listen, I've told you some of my stories about being in the dark. I hated the dark when I was a kid. And I think that there's something kind of natural in us. We want to know where things are. We're afraid we're going to run into something. Scary stuff hangs out in the dark, and we don't like it as kids. And so it really teaches us to pay attention when we're in the dark. We walk slower. We're a little more tentative. We tend to focus in on something that we think we see, and we can take time that we normally wouldn't otherwise take. And so Jesus said to us, "You're the light in that world." When the world, everybody in the world, is going through, working their way through life in this darkness, you're the light. It's a powerful thing when we realize our cars have lights, our houses have lights, our cell phones have lights. Everywhere there's a light. The streets have lights. And sometimes if you see an unidentified light at night, you go, "Well, it must be some UFOs or something around here." We notice lights. We notice things are happening around us. And Jesus said, when you are living, he's really telling us, when you are living as light in the world, people are going to notice it. People are going to notice it. When I was a teenager, there was a story that if you went to a certain place near an old railroad, and you went out there at midnight, and you flash, you put your keys on the hood of the car, which is the first dumb thing you do. And then you flash, you turn your car off, you flash the lights three times, and you wait. And the story was that a man who was run over by the rail, by the train 100 years ago was still carrying his lantern at night, and he would come to the light. So we go out there, and we're just like, we got to find out if this is real. And sure enough, I'm teasing. He wasn't really there. But when we got out there, we did the whole thing. You know, we're teenagers. It's just fun. I think it was actually one night after church. We just went out there. And I do remember, though, that way down the railroad, you could see a light. Now, I don't know what the light was. I don't think it was a headless man with a lantern. But somewhere down there was a light. And I remember everybody in the car, we were laser focused on that light because there was no more light around. And Jesus says to us, you're the light of the world. Your job is to light up the darkness around you. Now, if we're going to be light, we've got to understand some things that the Bible teaches us. We've got to lean into it. Here, I want to share three things with you. The first one is we have to accept reality and realize that the world is a dark place. The world is just a dark place. Look at what Ephesians chapter 6 says. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. If I'm going to be a light, I got to recognize where I'm living. I'm living in a dark place. He says it to us. There's a battle going on, a spiritual battle, and it's going on in a very, very dark world, a spiritually dark world. Look at John chapter 12. Jesus said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. So he said, look, I'm coming to shine as a light. And the reason I'm coming to shine as a light is if you put your trust in me, you see me, you put your trust in me, then you no longer remain in the dark. You're not in the dark anymore. Now, Jesus is the one, the ultimate light. And then he's telling us you are the light of the world too. Do you ever walk in a room and you're unfamiliar with the room? And you don't know where the light switch is, but you're like, I got to get that light before I can do anything else in here. It's just dark. And so you fumble around and bump, and then finally you find the light switch. My dad is 80 years old, and he still loves to scare somebody. One time, I think I've told this story, he had an old man mask on. And I don't know where he got this stupid mask. He got the mask. And so I remember I was about probably 13, and I was in the living room at our house, and I was watching, you know, cartoons at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the only cartoon that came on all day, right? 4 to 4:30. All the old people say amen. All right. So, and I was watching the cartoon, and I decided I'm going to go in the kitchen and I'm going to get something to drink. And coming from the other direction, from the dining room, my dad has an old denim jacket on, and he's bent over like an old man, and he's got this really scary old man mask on. And he's just, here he comes, just walking through. And I could have run out the kitchen door and been gone, but you know what I did? I ran straight up to that old man, and I grabbed him straight by the face, and I started just slinging him as hard as I could. And I realized, as my dad is cackling out loud, that I'm attacking my own father here. And he loved that stuff. Now, one time he took that same old mask and he went and hid in a... My uncle was a hog farmer, pig farmer. And he had a building where it was very dark and you had to flip that one switch on. There's no lights in there. So my dad goes and hides in the back of this room. Broad daylight outside. And my uncle, who is my dad's twin brother, he loved scaring somebody as much as my dad did. And so my dad is sitting there with this old man's mask on, and my uncle sends one of his workers in there, and he says, go in and get something out of the room. And he walks in and he reaches around and he finally finds a light and he flips it on, and there my dad is standing about 4 feet away. And I'll never forget, Ronnie comes running out of that barn, and there's a jump. There's a porch on it that's about this high. And he flew off that porch and did not slow down till he was on the other side of the farm. Now listen, When you and I are going through life like in the dark and we can't find the light, it's just scary. It's terrifying to be in the dark and not know what to do about it. And the world is living in the dark every single day, not knowing what they're going to do, not having any answers, not understanding how to turn the light on. And Jesus said that our job is to be the light. Our job is not to make ourselves happy. Our job is to be the light. It's easy to get lost in the dark. It's easy to trip over stuff in the dark. It's easy to lose things in the dark. We all get it. And if we don't recognize that the world is a dark place, then we don't feel the need to turn our spiritual light on. But when we recognize there are people that are fumbling through life wondering what are the answers, I feel like I'm trying to do chemistry and all I got is ABCs to give me the answers of life, and I'm confused and I'm worried, and our job all along is to be the light, not to have all the answers. You're not going to have all the answers. I'm not going to have all the answers. But we do get to be the light. We get to shed a little light on their situation. We get to say, hey, here's what worked for me. I started reading my Bible. I started praying. I started going to church. I surrendered my life to Christ. And so we're turning the light on one at a time. One at a time. So if we don't recognize that the world is dark, we don't see the need to help anybody. Here's the second one. If I'm going to really be a light, I got to feel the burden. I got to accept my calling, the calling of being light. I've got to accept that God's called me to be the light in this world. God has directed your steps throughout your life, and He places you where He needs you so the light can be shown in that job, in that family, in that neighborhood. He put you there on purpose so you could shed some light on the situation. Look at John chapter 10. The thief's purpose, talking about Satan, the thief's purpose, Jesus said, is to steal and kill and destroy. Let's stop right there. When does most of the stealing, killing, and destroying happen? At night, in the dark? That's why your parents said nothing good is happening after midnight. That's why they said get home. All right? You got no business being out there. Why? Because that's when all the stealing and killing and destroying happens. And it's in the dark. So Jesus said the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus came so that He could be the light, so He could give us life. All right? And if we don't accept our calling in this, if I just live my life to make me happy and make me feel good, then I'm never going to be what God's called me to be. But I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. We know there's more to it than that. We got to have God's power. We can't just figure it out on our own. We have to be empowered by Him. Look at Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. He said, I'm going to give you power. Your lights ever go out and you go to that drawer where you keep the flashlight and you turn it on and you just see the light go. You're like, I should have bought batteries. I should have plugged it in and recharged it, however yours works. It's so easy to not pay attention to the power source of a flashlight until you really, really need it. How many of us have done this? Oh, I only got 6% left. What am I going to do? My battery's down. I forgot to plug it in last night. How many of you forgot to plug in your phone lately? I'm going to pick on you from. All right, we only got one. We all do it. Every now and then we do it. And we forget it, and then we realize, I really needed that power. I really needed that. And so here, the Scripture is telling us, you can be witnesses, but you're going to have to plug into the right source. He wants to help you. He wants to help you be a light. He wants you to be a witness. Witnessing for Christ is just turning on the lights. That's all it is. It's just turning on the lights. Back in the day, they had all these programs at churches where they would send people out and knock on doors, and they would train them to tell the people at their homes about Jesus. Like, this is how you do personal witnessing, right? It's great. Except the fact that today nobody will let you in their house, all right? I'm surprised it even worked back then. Can you knock on the door? I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Well, come on in and let's have some coffee. Are you kidding? Nowadays, when the phone rings, what do? We're hiding. Shh, be quiet. Don't let anybody in. We get it. But now, so witnessing is not about, let me remember 3 points and then I'll share Jesus with you. That's not what it is. Witnessing is very simple. Turning the light on. It's just living as a light. See, if you're lost, if we're all lost in the woods and you're the only one with a flashlight, guess what? You just got elected as the leader. If we're lost in the dark woods and you're the only one with a light, you are responsible for leading the rest of us out. It's not, you don't get to go, well, I might not, because somebody will knock you out and take your flashlight. You have a responsibility to show the light. Help us get back home. And so the scripture is telling us here, he's going to empower us, and we have some responsibility in this. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to turn on the light. Here's the third thing. I got to live with an eternal perspective. I got to live with an eternal perspective. I have to realize that people are going to be forever lost without Jesus. I know this is heavy for a Wednesday night. Here we go, though. People who don't know Jesus will be forever lost. The Bible teaches us there is a heaven and there is a hell. These are not fairy tales. Everybody doesn't go to heaven. If I accept Christ and I follow him, then I go to heaven. If I don't know Jesus, I do not go to heaven. As long as there is a heaven and a hell, we have a responsibility to be a light, to point people in the right direction, to live our lives in a way that points people to Christ. So if I stopped right now and ask us all the question, which way is my life pointing others? What is my life doing? Am I pointing people to Christ or away from Christ? Am I pointing them in the direction that of salvation, or am I just pointing them away from Jesus? I have to decide that at some point. What am I doing here? 2 Corinthians says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's about having an eternal perspective on life. But what if we chose to live with an eternal perspective? So when stuff happens that is not eternal, we just don't let it get to us so much. We just go, well, it won't matter in 100 years. But when things are eternal, we really focus in on it. And we really put our energy behind it. And we really surrender our lives to Christ. Because eternity is what matters. Years ago, I did a message on, I took a long rope and stretched it all the way across the stage, and I put a little tiny piece of tape on one end of the rope. And I got this illustration from somebody else. I didn't tell y'all at the time, but I stole it. All right. And a little piece of tape on the end of the rope. And I held it up and said, This is your life on earth, the part underneath this tape. And all the rest of this rope is your eternity. Wouldn't it be best to focus this little part right here that we get to enjoy now on earth on the rest of this time, instead of just trying to milk this little bit out as much as we can and enjoy, have fun and do what we want to do now? Wouldn't it be better to focus on eternity than to just focus on this little bitty sliver of time? If I've got an eternal perspective, then I pray differently. I pray about my family differently when I have an eternal perspective. I fast differently when I have an eternal perspective. I'm more intentional about how I live my life if I have an eternal perspective. If I'm only thinking about things that are temporary, I don't worry too much about turning on the light because I think that this is all there is anyway. But when I'm eternally focused, I'm focused on eternity, it makes me want to turn the light on for somebody. It makes me want to share the light with somebody. So with all that said, how do we become light? How do we live this life as light? And Jesus actually connects being salt and light in the world together, all right? Salt, it just means that he preserves us. And when we are salt to the world, we're the ones that are preserving the world. We're the ones that are sharing the thing that will give them eternal life. But he focuses in on light, and he says, you got to be a light. You got to be the city on a hill. So how do we do that? Well, we got to love and serve. That's really how we show our light. Love and serve. Love and serve. Love and serve. It means I'm not being selfish, but I love and serve. And what is it? What's going on in your life right now where you can love and serve somebody in a different way than you ever have before? That you can put it all on the line and say, let me just humble myself before the Lord and let me love and serve. We love and serve God by loving and serving his children. Jesus said, the Bible says, how can you love God that you've never seen when you don't even love your neighbor? It really shows our level of love toward God by how we treat the people in our lives, loving and serving people. Philippians 2 says this. I love this little passage of scripture. It says, in your relationships with one another, it's the Apostle Paul talking, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I'll stop there. He said, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So you got to know, if he told you to have the same mindset, he's about to tell you what that mindset was, all right? In verse 6, he says, who, Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, said he was God. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he said, remember, I want you to have the same mindset Jesus did. And he said, the first thing you need to know about Jesus is Jesus was not about himself. He was God, but he didn't even focus on that. He didn't use it to his own advantage. Now, verse 7, he contrasted. He said he didn't use it to his own advantage, but instead of using it to his own advantage, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He said, taking the very nature of a servant. Now, I can't adequately explain this. I know. I'm not even going to try. But when Jesus came from heaven to earth and he took on the nature of a servant, he said, I'm doing this for y'all. I don't know if Jesus said y'all, all right, but maybe. Probably did, all right. He's I'm doing this for all of you. I'm not doing this for me. I don't need what I'm about to do. I don't need to die on the cross. That's not for me. I'm doing this for you. He took on the nature of a servant. So how do we become light in the world? Love people, which is what motivated Jesus to come. Serve people, which is what Jesus did on the cross and dying in our place so we could be saved. Loving and serving people. It means I'm denying myself. I'm denying myself. I remember standing in the nursery at the hospital when our first child was born, thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. He was very sick and all that stuff. But I remember just standing there thinking, I didn't even know I could feel this way. There's just something about it. Now, I've wanted to kill him a few times after that myself. But it was very special in that moment, all right? And I believe God looks at us. He has to look at us in some sort of similar way. Going, I just love them. I love them. They're knuckleheads sometimes, but I just love them. He came to love and to serve. When we see ourselves as servants, it impacts the way we treat other people. Let me pause for just a second and say this. When we really see ourselves as servants, it impacts the way we treat people. Arrogance in me says, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Servant in me says, let me think about what Jesus would do here. Let me handle this the way, why? Because I want to be light. Why do I want to be light? Because eternity is very real and somebody's soul is in the balance. Now, that doesn't mean let people walk on you and miss all, none of that. All right, don't take that to some weird place. But when I realize that I'm a servant, then I treat people differently. I love being around people who are smilers. You know, they always look like they're up to something. And you get to know them, and you're like, they just love Jesus. They just smile everywhere they go. They're just kind. They just do life as a servant. It impacts our attitude toward others. Don't hold this against me, what I'm about to say, but if I truly am a servant, I'm probably not going to feel the need to honk at as many people in traffic. I'm probably going to be thinking about how can I show the love of Christ to them. All right? Now, that may be a little bit of a stretch for some of us, all right? But if I'm thinking about eternity, it affects, if I live my life as a servant, it affects the way I spend my money. It affects the way I spend my time. It affects the way I spend my energy. It impacts the way I do life. When I live as a servant, when I love people and I live as a servant, I say I want to be that beacon. I want to be a lantern. I want to be a flare. I want to be a lighthouse. I want to be a bonfire for Jesus. I want to show the love of Christ to somebody in my life today. And I'll promise you this, if you choose to let your light shine, he will make sure you have opportunities to let your light shine. And it's up to us, though. It shines, our light shines for the world to see it. It's a city on a hill is a place of refuge is what it's referring to. And when we let the light shine, we're pointing people to Christ. That's where they can find safety. Just being a servant. Just serving. Just caring. Matthew 20 says this. It's not on the screen. I just want to read it to you. So those who are last now will be first then. And those who are first now will be last then. Here's what it's saying. If you will put yourself at the end of the line now and love people and serve people now, God's going to move you up the line later. But if you push your way to the front and push your and you're selfish about it, then he puts you at the back of the line later. That's what he says. You ever see a bunch of school kids and one of them runs up to the front, stands right in the front. And what does the teacher say? At least my teachers used to say, go to the back of the line. Oh, man. But I wanted to be first. She said, I know, that's why you're last. Because you pushed yourself forward. And being a servant and loving people means I'm willing to go to the back of the line and do this the way God wants me to do it. Serving will get you into places that titles and money won't. Serving will get you into places that you can't get any other way. Ask the maid at the White House. She's there. Why is she there? Because she serves. Ask the butler at Buckingham Palace how he got to Buckingham Palace. Serving got him to Buckingham Palace. When we serve, we are promoted. The last will be first, the first will be last. God is saying, how much can you put yourself, how far can you put yourself in the back of the line? That's how far I'll put you in the front of the line later. Loving and serving people. Just sharing Christ. Just sharing Christ and how we go about our life. That's what this is all about. Matthew chapter 5 says this. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, I want us to do a little exercise. not push-ups, just a little exercise. What's one area? Let's start at a different place. What is one person that needs you to love them right now? And again, don't take this to some extreme. Like, you know, we're not talking about being walked on or mistreated or any of that. We're just, who in your life needs you to love them? Who in your life needs you to serve them? If you don't know the answer to that, it probably deserves some prayer. Who needs you to love them and who needs you to serve them? Now, here's what most of us will do. Most of us will say, well, they don't need anything from me. They don't care what I say. They don't care what I think. I want to challenge you. People in your life need you. They need you to love them. They need you to serve them. Every one of us needs encouragement. If we went around the room tonight and I started over here and I started passing out compliments, true, encouraging, real, personal compliments, and I start over here, boom, 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 and I start going down the line, you know what's going to happen? Everybody across the room is going to be going, what's he going to say about me? Wonder what he thinks I did. Wonder, man, I just can't wait. And I said, and I stop halfway and I go, you're dismissed. You'd be like, we ain't dismissed till you finish this list. Why? We love encouragement. We love it. We need it. And being a light for Christ, it might be that you love and serve people by encouraging them. Now, don't serve up fake compliments. Don't say to somebody, you're the greatest blah, blah, blah that ever lived. No, they're not. Be honest. Be an honest encourager, all right? And people, here's what I promise you. The better encourager you are, the more people will want to be around you. It's got to be real. Can't be fake. But the more you love people and the more you serve people, the more they're going to want to know what's going on in your life. What can I learn from you? How can I grow? So who in your life needs you to love them? Is it the bonehead next to you at work? I mean, let's just be honest. Is it that person? Who needs you to serve them? Probably the one with the worst attitude. I'm going to let you in on a secret. The sooner you learn how to serve them, the sooner God can move you along. But some of us have been holding on to our pride for so long. I'm not serving them. They don't deserve it. And God's like, well, I'm going to keep you right here till you figure it out. This is the next lesson in the process. You're going to have to let go of your pride and love and serve. And some of us have been camped out in the same spot. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. And God is like, well, I'm trying to get you to the front of the line, but you're still in the back of the line. Loving and serving people. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole life is about. Loving and serving people. Not perfect people, because perfect people don't exist. All right? Just people. So I'm going to ask this again, because I want you to think of somebody specific. I want you to put a face with this. Who needs you to love them? It's probably the most unlovable person in your life. All right? Who needs you to serve them? Who is it? Now let's go around the room and share your names. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. There is a moment, though, we got to be specific. Because if we just allow ourselves to be vague and never answer these questions, then we just sort of float through and we don't progress. We don't see ourselves as light in the world. We just sort of float and don't let God work in our lives. It's got to be specific sometimes. What is God trying to do? How is God trying to work? What is he trying to accomplish in us? Now look, I want us to pray in just a minute. We're going to pray for those people. We're going to pray for those people. The ones we need to love and that we need to serve. And I always say this, but sometimes I don't even do it. You got to have a goal, but then you got to know what your next step is, right? The goal is to love and serve, and that's good. That's a great goal. What is the next step? How am I going to love and serve them? I'm going to take them some groceries. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to offer to pray with them. Offer to wash their car. What am I going to do? Offer to keep their kids. Oh, goodness gracious. Please, Lord. You know what I'm saying. It's real stuff. How do we become a light in the world? All right, stand with me if you will. Thank you, Jesus. Can I tell you this? God's going to speak to you tonight. He's going to speak to you about loving and serving. How do I know that? Because it's his words, not about me. I can't even talk me into doing stuff. I certainly can't talk you into doing stuff. It's God's word that does it in us. He's going to speak to you. God, we thank you tonight. Lord, somebody loved us and somebody served us before we ever knew you. Thank you, Lord, for the people who loved us and the people who served us. Lord, for me, thank you for parents who loved me and took care of me and served me and pointed me to Jesus and were a light in the world. And thank you, Lord, for the small group leaders when I was a child who loved and served me and pointed me in the right direction. Thank you all along the way, Lord, for people who have been there and live their life as a light to me and for me. I thank you, Lord. I'm afraid I would be in a much different place if it hadn't been for those people, Lord. And I'm grateful tonight, God. Lord, I also want to live with love and servanthood in my heart, God. I know we all do, and there are moments when we feel like we are hurting too much to love and serve somebody else. That we're dealing with too much to love and serve somebody. Lord, remind us that loving and serving is the way we find fulfillment in our lives. We may have to take a break and a breather every now and then, but Lord, you've called us to live this life, to be light in the world. And Lord, help us to see our families through the lens of eternity, God. Help us to love them and serve them because eternity is at stake. Lord, help us to be light on our jobs and help us to be light in our neighborhoods and help us to be light with our friends, coworkers. God, we just thank you, Lord, and use us for your glory. And Lord, we pray that we'd be able to share some testimonies of your goodness and that you would just have your way with us. Lord, we just want to be clay in your hands. Lord, just work on us and just work out the imperfections and just change us and mold us into the people you want us to be. And God, we love you today and we thank you for all your blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. I want to ask you to think about the person who needs you to love them and who needs you to serve them. They may be two different people. That's okay. Who needs it? God's placed us as a city on a hill to light up the world. It's not an arrogance thing. We're just reflecting the light of Jesus. That's all we're doing. We're just good mirrors. That's all he's asking us to do. So who is it that needs you to love them and serve them? Lord, bless us as we go and have your way with us this week. Use us for your honor. In Jesus' name, Amen. Love y'all, everybody. Thank you for being here tonight.